great blessing and privilege to be with you this night. Thankful for your presence, and thankful for what we feel is the Lord's presence in all that has gone before, and pray that He will continue to dwell with us for a little while. I'd like to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 41. It's been considerable time since we've talked any about the life of Joseph, which we're doing a series on, but feel impressed to head that direction this evening. At this particular time, Joseph he's interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. He has told him that they're having 7 good years. They're going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And he encourages Pharaoh to appoint a man to rule over Egypt to help get them through this time of trouble. So Pharaoh does the logical thing. He appoints Joseph to be ruler over Egypt and to take care of this business. And while there, he also blesses him with a wife, and she has 2 children. She bears him 2 children, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Joseph, through these 2 children, is blessed to not only forget all of his trouble, the pain that he's gone through, but he's also blessed to be bountiful and to multiply in this land that the Lord has led him to. And we're going to read the last few verses of Genesis 41, beginning in verse 53. Genesis 41, verse 53, it says, "And the 7 years of plenteousness, then the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the land, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because of the famine was sore in all lands." In this particular account, and I'm not going to dwell on this point too much, we're going to see the beginning of what's going to carry on through several chapters, because this 7 years of famine was so sore that it overwhelmed and just ate up the 7 years that went before. In other words, it was so bad, by the time it was done, you couldn't even remember they'd ever had a good year, ever had a plenteous year. And Joseph is going to show us in this something very important. It's a rule that stands even today. And that rule is, he who has the food rules. You know, you and I can go with or without a lot of things, but you and I can't go without food. And when we're done with service tonight, if you want to have a discussion about who some of those powerful men in this world are, I can tell you what my opinion is. And it's because they control things that other men do not. It's not the George Soroses or the Warren Buffetts of the world. They have a lot of money. But friends, all the money in the world won't feed you if there's nothing to eat. And he who has the food is the one who has power, who has leverage. And Joseph is very wise in this. Some men are not wise in their authority and in their discretion. But Joseph is. And he has stored up in these big storehouses corn for these days of famine. Now, what's interesting about this story is Joseph has stood before a king. And he has told the king, this is what's going to happen. The king was wise. He says, well, Joseph, you're going to have to be the one to take care of this. And so he does. But friends, do you really think that nobody in the rest of the land of Egypt knew this was coming? I think they all knew it was coming. I mean, the other lands didn't, but the Egyptians knew. I mean, they saw Joseph building these storehouses and sticking corn in there for 7 years. And they watched all that. They knew it was coming. But in spite of knowing it was coming, they themselves were not ready and equipped to go through 7 years of dirt. And friends, there's a lot of things in this world you and I may know they're coming because God's Word said they are. But we're not capable, seemingly ourselves, of preparing and getting through them all on our own. I mean, if I was to ask you tonight, do you expect that you're going to have some troubles, some trials, and some tribulations this week? If you're candid and honest, I hope you'll say yes. You are. I am too. John 16:33 says, in this world ye shall have tribulations. That's just a fact. That's a reality of the world we live in. But even knowing that, even knowing they're coming, and even doing your best to prepare for them, and even doing your best to get ready to go through them. I mean, I've I hate to tell you this, but friends, when you roll out of bed in the morning, it's time to start strapping on the armor already. It's time to start putting it on because Satan, he never quits. He never lets up. But even being prepared, can you go through a whole week without help? Can you go through a whole day without help? No matter how well prepared we are, no matter how well equipped we are, we still need help. And here these people are. They know famine's coming. They probably have made a lot of money during the plenteous years. They've probably done a whole lot as far as getting ready for it. But even still, there comes a point when they're just not equipped. They can't handle it. And friends, no matter how well we've lived and how well we've done, there are things that we just are not equipped to handle on our own. There's one thing that I don't like to think about, I don't like to talk about, and it's one of those things that preachers are always afraid is going to happen every time they stand up here. I mean, we all have had flops from time to time. It's just a reality. And even if we have prepared, sometimes we still flop. Even if we think we've had a good week of study, sometimes we still flop. You know what one of the reasons for that is? It's to remind us of where our strength really comes from. It's to remind us of where our blessings really come from. If you didn't have a problem, if you didn't have a care, if you didn't have a worry in this world, I mean, you might think, well, I've got this all figured out. I've got this all taken care of. I don't need anybody. But friends, in this world we live in, we need Him. We sang a song tonight saying, I need Thee every hour. You and I are not able to get through the famines and the dearths and the tribulations on our own. That's why Jesus didn't stop by saying, in this world ye shall have tribulations. He says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. No matter what we go through, He has overcome it. He's going through it with us, and He stands with us in all times and in all seasons. So when the famine comes, the people, they go as long as they can, but then they come to Pharaoh and they said, we're done. We're out of bread. We're out of corn. We got this money, but we don't have anything to eat. And Pharaoh does what a king should do. He points them in the right direction. He basically says, don't talk to me. Go see that fellow over there. You realize that the strongest king, the most powerful ruler, and the greatest magistrate who's ever lived, he doesn't compare to Jesus Christ. There is nobody who's ever ruled that compares to Jesus Christ. And an honorable ruler, an honorable king, understands and realizes that no matter how good a king he is, no matter how powerful a king he is, he stands in need of the Lord to bless his kingdom. And here's Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler in the world at this time, and he says, go talk to Joseph. And notice what he says. And whatsoever he saith unto you, do. That sounds a whole lot like what Mary told the servants in John chapter 2. Whenever they had run out of wine at the marriage feast, she tells Jesus, she says, they don't have any wine. And Jesus looks at her and says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. But she didn't get discouraged. She turns to the servants and she says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And friends, that's good advice still today. Whatever the Lord has commanded, just do it. Whatever the Lord has instructed, just do it. Because friends, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to the natural mind. It doesn't matter if it's something we want to do or feel like doing. If it's something the Lord has told us to do, it's always the right way to go. There are things that you and I don't want to do. You know, I mean, do we like confronting our own problems? Do we like confronting our own sins? I'll confess to you that I don't like talking about my shortcomings. Show of hands, how many of you like to talk about shortcomings? How many of you like to talk about all the ways you failed? How many of you like to talk about all the sins you've committed? I mean, I heard a preacher say one time, there ain't a preacher alive who'd stand before the Lord's people if there was a rolling screen of all the sins he committed that week. He's probably right. I mean, I wouldn't want to stand before you if my sins of this past week were rolling up behind my head. I mean, I get funny looks now. Can you imagine the looks I'd get if that was happening? I don't want that. But friends, you know what's really good for us? What's really good for us is to confess our faults. You know why? Because Romans 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the tongue confession is made unto salvation. That's not confessing to go to heaven. That's confessing to have some deliverance right here. To have some deliverance in this daily strife and toil we go through. I never liked admitting to my parents when I had broken one of the rules of the house. But friends, you know, once I was done confessing that and getting it out of my system, there was something that I had with my parents again that I didn't have prior to that. That was fellowship, to be in the room with them and to enjoy their company and to enjoy their presence. And you and I go through life, and there's times that we might be scared of the Lord's appearance. We might be scared of Him coming to reckon with us.
But friends, when we confess our faults unto Him, it cleanses us and purifies us so that we feel better and we're able to move forward in our life in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the flesh doesn't like that, but it's good for us. You know what else the flesh doesn't like? The flesh doesn't like dealing with things in God's way. You got a problem with somebody, what's the last thing you want to do? The last thing you want to do is go, "Hey man, let's talk." What's the first thing you want to do? "Can you believe what he said? Can you believe what she did to me?" I mean, that's the first thing we want to do. Now, friends, it may be hard in the flesh to actually go to the person and say, "I have aught with you and we need to talk about this." But friends, that's the best way to get resolution. You know why it's the best way? Because it's God's way. Whether it makes sense to the flesh or not. There are things that don't make sense to the natural man. It doesn't make sense today for you and I to sing without some help. I mean, when I say help, I'm talking about little string keys that we could use. It doesn't make sense for a man to stand before God's people and preach with no formal education to do this. That just doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But I tell you what does make sense, because it's God's way, is for us to praise Him with the tools and with the instruments and with the talents that He's given unto us. It's not important for me to pattern my preaching after some other man. It's important for me to pattern my preaching with the talents the Lord has given me to the very best of my ability. It's your privilege to take the talents the Lord has given you and worship Him to the very best of your ability. Not with the very best that our hands can offer, but with the very best that He has given unto us by His grace. And friends, whatever He's told us to do, the best thing we have to do is to just do it. Pharaoh says, "Go to Joseph. And whatever He tells you to do, you do it. If He tells you to do this, just follow it. Because He's the one that has the answers. He's the one that's got the food. He's the one that knows how to deliver us through this." And friends, today, you and I have a Joseph. His name is Jesus, seated in heaven at the Father's right hand. And He still has the answers today. He still has the method to get us through all the troubles that we go through. He still has the remedy for all the problems that we face. And He still has the ability, friends, to deliver today just as He always has. There's no dearth, there's no famine, there's no struggle, there's no pain, there's no sorrow that He is not too big to handle. He can handle everything in this world. And our best advice is just to go to Him, and whatever He says to us to do, just do it. I mean, that's just simple. Now, it's not always easy, but it's simple. So the Egyptians go to Joseph. They cry unto him because they have no corn, they have no bread. And Joseph opens up the storehouses and he sells unto the Egyptians, and they buy bread from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This reminds me of a text found in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, we are given instruction on how we go through the dearth of this world and of this life. In Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1, the prophet writes, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. And eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not, thou shalt even because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he it is that glorified thee." Here in this passage, he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the brook, come ye and eat, come and buy corn and wine without price." There are times in this world where you and I get weighed down, we get troubled, we go through famines, we go through afflictions, and here he says, "Come to the brook. When you're thirsty, come to the brook and drink. Come to the fountain of living waters. Come and buy bread. Come and buy corn." And notice what he says. He says, "Come and buy it without price." In other words, it's not something that money in this world gets you. It's not something that possessions in this world gets you. What is it that the Lord desires of us when we come unto Him? Now, Joseph dealt in a pure money exchange basis. They gave him money, he gave them corn. And in life, that's what things are. You give money and you get goods as a result of it. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're going through a famine in your life, when you're going through trouble in your life, you come to Him. And friends, there's an old expression, I don't hear it much anymore. You ever heard somebody say, your money ain't no good here? What they mean by that is you can't get this with money. Sometimes what they mean by it is, we're giving you this and you can't buy it off of us. Well, friends, it doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how much money I got. That's not what the Lord is looking for. When He says, ho everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink. Come ye and eat. Come and buy corn and wine without price. What does He go on to say? He says, incline your ear unto me. Incline your heart unto righteousness. What Jesus is looking for whenever we're thirsty, whenever we're hungry, is He's looking for an ear that is listening to Him. He's looking for a heart that is attuned to walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You and I come to Jesus many times, and when we come to Him, or let me back up. I come to Jesus many times. I won't speak for you. I come to Jesus many times, and I say, all right, Lord, here's the situation. I open it all up like He doesn't know what's going on in my life. I start explaining all the details. And friends, by the way, you ever been with somebody, and they're like, and my children do this a lot. They said, Daddy, I want to tell you something. And when they start telling me, I want to tell them, I already know that. I already know this situation. I already know this story. And sometimes they'll take a breath and I'll say, by the way, I know what's going on. And they'll go, yeah, but let me tell you. I know you know, but let me tell you. That's how we are with the Lord. Lord knows what's going on, but Lord, let me tell you. Let me tell you every detail of what's going on in my life. We open it all up. We start laying it out in details like the Lord doesn't know what's going on. And then when we have it all laid out, we say, now, Lord, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this here. 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 I very much appreciate how Brother Vince finished his prayer tonight. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Friends, it's not my privilege and it's not my authority to say, Lord, do this, do this, do this, and do this. Because many times, friends, what I want the Lord to do, even if I am thinking right, even if my mind is seemingly in the right place, and even if my heart is going the right direction, He knows more than I do. In Isaiah 55, He goes on in verse 8 to say, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high are my ways above yours. Friends, He sees what's going on better than I do. He knows what needs to be done better than I do. So what is it He wants to see? He wants to see an ear that is inclined unto Him. One that's listening to hear Him speak. Friends, one of the best things you and I can do is when we come to the Lord, we just say, Lord, what would you have me do? And listen for His reply. This morning at Shoals, I mentioned one of my favorite verses in all the Scriptures, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, when he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What is it that renews our strength? He tells you in the very next verse, Isaiah 41 and verse 1. He says, let the isles come before me and keep silence, and then let them renew their strength. You know, we live in a world today where everybody wants to talk, and not a whole lot of folks want to listen. If you want amen, that I will. We're living in a world where everybody wants to talk, and nobody wants to listen. And many times the reason I have not heard the Lord as I ought to have heard Him is because I'm too concerned with the fires of this world, the great winds of this world, and the great earthquakes of this world, and I'm not listening for the still small voice when He comes and when He speaks unto His people. Isaiah says in Isaiah 33, I believe it is, about verse 20, he says, and when thou goest, thou shalt hear a sound in thine ears, saying, this is the right way, or this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand or to the left. The Lord is instructing and directing His people today by His Spirit. He is telling us and leading us in the ways we need to go. The problem is not that the Lord has not communicated. The problem is that we haven't listened. And we haven't followed as He's told us to do. And what the Lord looks for when people are thirsty to give them satisfaction for their soul and satisfaction for their longing and for their hunger and their thirst, as he's looking for ears that are inclined unto him and hearts that are attuned unto righteousness. But whenever he finds that, friends, because the sacrifices of God, as David says in Psalm 51, he says, if you had wanted sacrifice, I would have given it. He says, but the sacrifices of God are a meek and contrite and a broken heart and spirit. That is what the Lord is looking for people who realize that they need Him, people that know that they need help and know they need strength. Friends, you and I get thirsty in this old world. We get hungry in this old world. And He asks us, He says, why do you spend your money? Why do you spend your labor for that which is not bread? Why are you focusing on all the wrong things? He says, come to the place where water is found. Come to the place where bread is found. Come to the place where there's a storehouse where you can find sustenance to get you through hard times. Because, friends, there are things in this world that you and I just cannot do without. And I tell you, one of the things that a child of God cannot do without is he cannot do without the Word of God. I mean, think about where our lives would be if we didn't have the Word of God to read and to go by. The psalmist says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I would stumble in this old world if I didn't have it. Another thing you and I can't do without is we can't do without the church of the living God, because it's a refuge and a shelter in this old world. It's a place where the Lord comes down and meets with His people. Because, friends, if I'm in the camp, if I'm with the children of Israel, I want to be in the place where the Lord comes down and the Lord meets and the Lord talks with us. I tell you something else we can't do without. We can't do without the fellowship of the Spirit. We can't do without the leading and the inclination and the direction that He gives unto us. And, friends, if I'm going to be found in all these things, I've got to be found with a meek and contrite heart, with a broken spirit, one that is inclined unto Him, and one that is ready to listen unto Him, because I have a parched throat. I have a hungry soul, and I want to be filled from time to time. He says, don't spend your labor for that which isn't bread. Don't spend all your efforts on things that come to no avail. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 2 and about verse 13, he says, my people have committed two evils. This sounds very similar to a lot of what's going on today. He says, my people have committed two evils. He's the one, he said, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like today. People have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters, and what they're going after is a broken cistern which cannot hold water. It can't satisfy them. Listening to my brother preach yesterday up in, I wouldn't tell you what part of Georgia I was in, but I don't know. It was a part I've never been to before. Do y'all know where Hogansville is? Y'all ain't no help. It's somewhere yonder way, about 2.5 hours. That's where I was. You can look it up on a map. Anyway, whatever part of Georgia that was in, I was listening to my brother preach, and he talked about how he had recently been working the concession stand at a football game, and I've seen this play out. And kids get money from their parents, and it just absolutely burns a hole in their pocket. They come up and they get nachos and they get a hot dog and they get some candy or a Snickers bar and they get their change and they're like, what can I get for this? In other words, I want to spend it all. That's where we live today. People just, they have a cistern with a hole in it. It can't hold anything. But worse than that, they're not putting anything good into it. And even if they did, they couldn't hold it if they had. Because, friends, you and I are the kind of people that were needy creatures. And we need a cistern, we need a bowl or a bucket that can hold things that the Lord gives us. We also need to make sure we're putting the right thing in it. You know, there are things that are going to occupy our minds and occupy our hearts. And if we're not filling our mind and filling our heart with the right kind of things, friends, we're not going to be found filled. We're not going to be found sustained. We're not going to be found nourished and built up in our most holy faith. They had to come to Joseph, to where he was, for him to open the storehouse unto them. And friends, you and I have to come to Him, the fountain of living waters, the holder of all life, to Him who is the living bread sent down from heaven, as He says of Himself in John 6. He says, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. We've got to go to where He is for Him to open up the storehouse. But friends, here's the great blessing. They had absolutely no way of getting through this on their own. They absolutely had no way of getting through this famine all by themselves. When Joseph opened up the storehouses and Joseph starts handing out corn, friends, at that moment, I can imagine they thought, all right, we're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. There was a lot more to go through. The famine had just begun. They've got 7 years to get through. But when those storehouses were opened up. They began to see just how much Joseph had. They began to see just how prepared he was. And friends, it wasn't just Egypt. It says that all lands came to Egypt because they had heard that there was bread, that there was corn to be found in Egypt. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of this in prayer request that this country stood in need of a lot of prayer. And please don't anybody get the wrong impression about what I'm about to say. I am not glorying in the United States of America. I'm not glorying in this land in which we live. But friends, in this particular land that we live in, there's a lot of similarity to what's happening in our nation, to what's happening in Egypt. There are a lot of people, not just us, but there are a lot of people who've been blessed because of this country. She's been very blessed by God. Now, I'm not up here making a political speech about what we should do or shouldn't do. But friends, the reason this country has been so blessed and a blessing to others is not because she's such a good country. Egypt, by and large in Scripture, is not a good nation. It's not a good country to think about. It's a country that more often than not denotes sin, depravity, blackness, and darkness. But on this particular occasion, Egypt was a land that blessed others. Egypt was a place that blessed other people. You know why that was? It wasn't because of Egypt. It's because Joseph was there. Do you know why this country has been a blessing to us and been a blessing to others? Because the Lord is here. That's the only reason. Friends, if the Lord ever leaves this country, she's doomed. Not to skip around to the end, but friends, when Joseph died, Egypt was not a good place to live in. You know why? Because another king rose who didn't know Joseph. And he put the children of Israel into bondage and captivity, which went on for 430 years. Friends, this nation is only going to stand and be good as long as our Joseph is here. But if our Joseph is here, I've got news for you, friends. There's corn to be found. There's bread to be found. There's sustenance to be found. If you don't believe it, the Lord says, prove me. In Malachi chapter 3, He says, prove me now and see. Let's just go read that. And how does the Lord tell us to prove Him? He tells us to prove Him with sacrifices, with tithes, with offerings. In Malachi chapter 3, Well, it would help if I was looking in the book of Malachi instead of Zechariah. Malachi chapter 3, start in verse 8. Malachi 3 and 8, he asks a question. He says, will a man rob God? It's an interesting question. If God owns everything, can we rob Him? He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. How do we rob Him? He says, but ye say, wherefore, or wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Here the Lord says, the reason you have robbed me is because even though I own everything, even though I have everything, because you may say, how's a man going to rob God? How's a man going to take from God? He says, you've robbed from me because what you should have done was showed how thankful you were for what I've done for you in giving me honor, blessing, for what I've given you. Now, this isn't a sermon about how we're supposed to tithe. This isn't a sermon about how we're supposed to give. But I'll say this. We are supposed to give to the Lord. I'm not talking about money just. It is money. But it's also time. It's also service. It's effort. And friends, if you think 10% is what we're supposed to give, I've got news for you. It's more than that. Because 10% is what they gave before Christ. Everything after Christ, I believe, should be more than anything they gave before Christ. Because you and I live in an age, in a day, in which we know what Christ has done for us. Should I be giving Him 10% of my time? No, friends. Should I be giving Him 10% of my money? No. Should I be giving Him 10% of my affection? No. Should I be giving Him 10% of what I have? The answer to all those things is no. What I should be giving to the Lord, whether in money, whether in time, whether in thought, whether in service, no matter what it it ought to be done with a cheerful heart. And the reason is because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. This isn't done out of constraint. It's not done out of service. It's not done out of duty. It's done willingly and cheerfully. Because friends, when you think about all the things that God has done for us, when you think about all the ways in which God has blessed us, what should it be that I want to do for Him? Should I say, what's the bare minimum that I can give to God? Or should I be saying, how much can I give to God? How much can I serve Him? Because friends, He gave everything to me. He gave me the very best that heaven had. His Son shed His blood. His Son laid down in death. And His Son rose again above the skies and sat down at His Father's right hand for me. On top of that, He daily loads me with benefits. On top of that, He gives me health and strength and life and breath. On top of that, He's given me knowledge of His Son and knowledge of what His Son has done. On top of that, He gave me the church. On top of that, He gave me fellow pilgrims and strangers. Can you see how much the Lord has blessed us? What is it that I should be giving to Him? I should be giving Him all that I can give and wanting to do more than I do. I should be giving unto Him the very cheerfulest and most blessed things that I have. You know, it's one thing to give to the Lord something you're going to get, basically just get rid of yourself. I mean, I love it whenever we go through the house and we start saying, all right, it's clean out time. We're going to Goodwill or we're going here. And boy, I tell you, toys they hadn't looked at, been under the bed for weeks, they hold on to. No, no, this is my favorite toy. Don't take it. They hadn't played with it for weeks. As soon as you want to take it, oh no, this is mine. But you know what they're always willing to get rid of? One that's broken. Yeah, that's broken. You can have it. Isn't that how we are with the Lord? It may be something that we have shown doesn't mean a thing in the world to us. We hang on to it and say, no, I don't want to give that up. But we'll give Him that which is broken. We'll give Him that which is lame. We'll give Him those things that we don't care about. Friends, He deserves the absolute best that I have. He deserves the very most that I can give unto Him. And friends, while we don't do it for this reason, what does the Lord say? When you prove me this way, He says, I'm going to open up the storehouse. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. And I'm going to pour out a blessing that's so big, there won't be room enough to contain it. There won't be room enough to receive it. I mean, just be honest. I realize that by nature this isn't going to happen, but do you believe this country could turn around morally just like that? It can. You know why? Because the Lord has that kind of power. Do you believe that spirituality can turn around just like that? It can, because the Lord has just that kind of power. Do you believe the Lord can bless things that are great mountains in our life to go away just like that? He can, because He has that kind of power. Now, He may not be willing, but we shouldn't pray to Him like we're praying to a God who cannot help, a God that cannot deliver. We're praying to a God that has all power in heaven and earth. One that has been given that power, and He has that power bound up. He's not giving it to anybody else. He's still got it. And friends, when I pray unto Him, I need to come unto Him with all that I have, giving unto Him the very best of all that I have, giving unto Him all that I am, and saying, Lord, whatever I am, I'm Thine. My heart, my soul, my life, my breath, my being, it belongs to You. What would You have me do? Friends, can you imagine the kind of blessing that He could pour out? You and I can't. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. When Joseph opened up those storehouses, there was hope in Egypt that they were going to make it through the famine. And friends, when God opens up the storehouses, when He doles out blessings and manna from heaven, whether it's through the preaching of the gospel, whether it's through fellowship and prayer, whether it's through strength and encouragement of one another, friends, you and I get the kind of hope and consolation that we can make it through this old world. Friends, I would not want to face the devil without the things that the Lord's given unto me. I wouldn't want to face this old world without knowledge of what the Lord's done. But knowing these things, having seen the Lord's storehouse, having seen heaven open, and having seen blessings come down, and having heaven's pure goodness rain down upon us, you know what it does? It lets me know it's going to be all right. We're going to get through all this. We're going to make it because we're in His hand. Friends, if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't make it. But we are living in a country, both literally and spiritually, where we see where our blessings come from. We know where the storehouse is. And when the Lord opens it up, when we come to Him with a contrite spirit and heart, when our parched throats come to Him and we incline unto Him to listen unto Him and for Him to speak to us, and whenever we look for Him as the bread of heaven to fill us and to cheer our hungry souls, and that storehouse is opened up, it revives the heart like nothing else. It lets us know it's all going to be all right. Because friends, I don't come to the house of God to get depressed about this old world. I come to the house of God to get uplifted about being taken out of this old world. I don't come to the house of God to talk about the weather. Friends, I know it's hot. I know it's hot. I mean, look, those first few fall mornings we had, I got excited. I'm like, fall mornings in August. Hallelujah. We've had August days in September. But I don't come to the house of God for that. I don't come to the house of God to hear how your bank account and your 401k is doing. I come to the house of God. As Solomon says in Proverbs 25 and 25, it says, cool waters to the thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Can you imagine what it was like, as we'll see later, for Jacob and the rest of Joseph's family, when they heard there was corn in Egypt? They realized, oh, there is a place we can go. And friends, even in this cold, dark world, and even in these dark times, there is still a place we can go. There's still a place where Joseph sits on the throne. There's still a place, friends, where he rules and reigns in the hearts of his children. And there's still a place where you and I can hear good news from a far country, to hear something that does for us like nothing else does. I hope tonight, no matter how your week has been, no matter what's on your mind, no matter what's wrapped up in your heart, no matter how many different ways Satan has tried to stretch you and pull you, I hope tonight you've seen the storehouse opened. I hope tonight that your heart has been revived. I hope that you've been given strength to carry on for days to come. I hope that's the case. If it is, friends, you remember, it's not because of the king. It's not because of anybody in his court. It's because of the ruler over the land that we have these things. It's not because of the preacher. It's not because of anybody else. It's because Joseph is still alive and on the throne. It's because Jesus still has a storehouse that he opens up and he feeds his people with. And friends, I confess to you that there's many times I forget where my blessings come from, and I need to be reminded that our Lord's alive, that he's on his throne, and he still takes care of us today. What could I possibly face that he can't handle? What famine could I possibly go through that he can't help see me through? And friends, as he told those disciples one day before they got on a boat, he says, let us pass unto the other side. They encountered a storm that night, but there wasn't no storm that was going to keep them from getting to the other side, because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And friends, no matter what famine or storm or trial we go through in this world, you and I are going to the other side. You know why? Because he said so. And whatever he says unto us today, let us do it and be found faithful in following after him and walking with him all the days of our life. And if we do so, may we find sweet peace and fellowship with him and with one another. If these things have been a blessing unto you, you give him all the praise, honor, and glory. May the Lord bless you as my friend.